inspiring, incredible preaching this morning. Why don't we welcome Pastor Tony as he comes this morning? Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, 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 wow. Everyone say wow.
Wow.
Wow. Good to see you today. Welcome to church. My name's Tony. If you're a new person, if you're new online, welcome today. Good to see you on our online community and online church this morning. You know what? People in their living rooms today, out in the backyard beside the pool with a cool drink in the shade, watching church, welcome. And all of us in the cool of the room today, give yourself a big round of applause. Great to see you in church today. Well, Legacy Week is this week, and in regards to the fasting, do something serious. Don't fast social media. You should do that all the time. Get into this, and as Pastor Cheryl said, the most important thing is just pray. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray. 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 Pray this week. And, you know, Legacy for us is an important moment. If you're part of our church family, you understand this. We do this every year. If you're recently new to our church, it's a special offering day where we bring a sacrificial offering, which is above and beyond our normal weekly giving. It's beyond, to use a Bible term, it's beyond our tithes. This is something we ask people to seriously pray about and give towards, contribute, engage with us with, and to do it in your own way. We ask people not to redirect their normal giving or their tithes towards this, because that doesn't help if we just take from here and put it there. So we're asking that we give to our legacy offering with a real spirit of faith this year. Cheryl said, be creative. You might have to do something that you wouldn't normally do. I sold something about a week ago, which I no longer needed. It was a tool, a special tool I'd purchased to help me with our house. We're renovating a 100-year-old Queenslander, and I ripped all the lead-based paint off with this special tool that I bought, and I sold it. I got $1,500 for it, which is amazing. And sold that last week, so that's a portion of what we will bring as a gift and an offering on that day. And also make a pledge is what we'll do, a promise in terms of what we will give over the year. So what we're asking people to consider, we've given you both a card and an envelope. If you don't have one, they're available at the Ask Me desk. The envelope is for your giving, if you're giving on cash or online or whatever. All the details are on the envelope. The card is for a promise that you might give or a pledge over a 12-month period, because we simply understand that for many of us, we don't have that kind of reserve sitting around, but we can believe over a 12-month period that we could give that. That's what this is for. You'll also find an online copy. If you go to our website, you'll find the details there. And you can let us know via the website what your promise, what your pledge will give. When you do give, can I say this? When you give online, in the reference column, if you just put legacy, and we'll know that then that is going towards legacy. It's not our general tithes and offerings. And can I just say a big thank you? A big thank you to our church. Our goal is $100,000. And look, obviously in this season, that's quite a challenge. I mean, look around the room. Church is different. It's really different. And Legacy Day will be a little bit different. We have decided that we are going to allow people to come out and bring their offering out, which is a little abnormal for this season, but it's what we do every Legacy year. So we're going to find a COVID-safe way to do that. We'll have several giving stations out the front where you can come and give. We are also going to have hospitality on the day. I'd announced that we weren't, but we are, because that's what we do. That's who we are. Everyone say it's who we are? That's who we are. That's how we roll. We eat and we like it. So we're going to share food on the day. It'll be COVID safe. It'll come in its own container. So if you want to grab it and go, you can grab it and go, or you can hang around and eat with your friends and family here at church. So that will be an amazing day. I want to say a big, huge thank you and give a real shout out to all of our teams that have returned to church and are serving and just helping make church strong again. We want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody involved. Thank you to all those who are here this week helping out and making church work as we've redirected some things. We've put our tech guys up in a room up there in the dark. You can't see them, but they're up there with a bunch of computers and everything, making the online service work for us today. And thank you to Dale and his team and Jared and everyone who's involved in that. Just a good deal. And, you know, if you're coming back into in-person, Can I ask that we return strong? We return strong. Come back brave. Come back bold. Come back big. Come back ready to serve and get involved in making church strong again. That's what we want. I mean, look at the football. They had 30,000 plus people there last night. They're not scared of getting back to the football. They're standing outside that stadium rubbing shoulder to shoulder. And if they can have 30,000 people out there or 40 people in your home, then we can have people in church. Just saying. We can have people in church and we need to come back strong. We need to come back serving. And if you're not involved in a team, now's a great time to get involved in a team and help build church and have a posture and an attitude that we're here to build. I want to continue today. I'm excited to preach today this series of Kingdom Come. I'm loving the journey of unpacking what I'm calling kingdomology. Everyone say kingdomology. Kingdomology. Kingdomology is simply God's way of doing things, helping us to understand God has a certain way. He thinks differently, he behaves differently, he acts differently than we do and than this world does, and we're learning all about that together. So excited to preach today. Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer, verses 1 and 2. Are our key verses and key thoughts from the Bible that we're sharing together. It says, "Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, would you teach us how to pray as John also taught his disciples how to pray?' So Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say.'" I love the poetic nature and flow of that. I love the groove that Jesus is in when he talks. He says, "When you pray, say." When you pray, say. And this is what he said to say and pray. He said, "Say and pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So our key thought and phrase for this series has been, when you pray, say this. If you're a prayer, pray the kingdom of God. Pray the kingdom of God. Pray the of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week we talked about being good citizens in the kingdom of heaven, because every kingdom has its citizens, and the Bible says that believers will come from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and we come under the leadership and the authority of the King and his word, his teachings and his ways. And as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we live here on earth, but we're governed by heaven. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in its sphere, but we're not of its substance. We're not here to fit in. We're here to bring change. That's what we're here to bring. We're here to bring heaven on earth. Now, you need to help me today, because our hall is at about one-third capacity. So the rule in our church, the culture of our church, is if two people clap, we all clap. Because it's a little empty. It's a little empty when you're the only clapper. And I don't want Brad to be that person. So be like Brad and clap and cheer. So we're here to bring change on earth. As citizens of heaven, we need to understand part of our kingdomology that we talked about last week is this, is that God does not generalize his judgment on people. We talked about that last week. God does not generalize his judgment on people. It's individualized. It's not generalized. The other thought that we shared was that God doesn't hold anyone responsible for someone else's sin, someone else's choices, and someone else's behavior. We all have personal responsibility in the eyes of God. Today, I want to talk to us a little bit more about culture and how we can champion kingdom culture, how we can champion heaven's culture on earth. You know, Jesus introduced heaven's culture to us when he came to earth. The Bible says that Jesus was the exact representation of God. It says that he is the Word become flesh, who existed from the beginning, and we beheld his glory and his light shined among us, but men didn't appreciate it and didn't understand who he was, because his culture was different, because he was being and he was living and he was from a different culture. He was from heaven. And so Jesus came demonstrating to our world the culture and the culture of the kingdom and the culture of heaven. He came teaching it. He came to die on a cross that we might become the citizens of heaven. He came to make us right with God. He showed us God because he is God and was God and forever will be God. He showed us the ways of God. He taught us the word of God. He came to bring a culture that we would live under whilst we're here on earth. Now, a culture, we all understand what a culture is, but a culture, very briefly, it's a way of life. It's a way of believing, and it's ultimately a way of behaving. It's a way of living, believing, and behaving. So to champion the culture of heaven is to champion the ways and the thoughts and the word of God while here on earth. You know, every time you come to church, every time you gather in a connect group, every time you serve, every time you give, every time you're generous in gesture or deed or kind acts to somebody else in humanity, you are championing the culture of heaven and the kingdom of God. Heaven has a culture. I'm not sure you're really aware of that, but heaven has a culture. It has a culture that is a culture of worship, a culture of celebration, a culture of service, a culture of generosity, a culture of others, a culture of gratitude, a culture of agreements, a culture of family, a culture of restoration, and a culture of honor. And they are the cultures that God wants to bring to us. They're the cultures that God wants us to live with and to live by. While Jesus was on earth, everything he did, everything he said was about revealing the culture of the kingdom of heaven. This culture kingdom from heaven was the top priority message that Jesus came. It was his mission that he came to share to bring heaven to earth. In Isaiah, we're told this, Isaiah 55:9, it says, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways, says God, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Do you understand God's ways are higher? Do you understand God's thoughts are better and bigger and bolder and more beautiful than ours? Because God just thinks in broader terms. He thinks in bigger terms. Part of the problem for humanity is we think so narrow. We think so confined, so restricted, so small, so isolated. God is so broad in his expression of thought. He thinks broader, bigger, brighter, better, bolder than we do. And we're always safe when we embrace the thinking of God, the thoughts of God, and also the word of God. We're safe because it will make our world larger. One of the things that I used to coach my children on when they were young, and even more so while they're adults right now, is I'd often say to them, take the high road. Take the high road. Don't take the low road of life. Take the high road. Look at things differently. Get a bigger perspective. Be a bigger person than what life is calling you to be right now. Don't take that low road. The low road's easy, but the views from the high road are beautiful. They are amazing. You know, we love the mountains. Humans love mountains because when you climb mountains and you get up high, or you're in a plane, do you remember when you used to travel? When you're in a plane and you're up high and you look down, the view and the perspective is so much different. It's so much more patterned. It's so much more beautiful when you're up high and you've got some height in your life. So God encourages us to get up high where his thoughts are, to get up high where his ways are, because they're higher than our ways. Our ways are low. God's ways are high. And the truth is, whenever we embrace God's thoughts, God's ways, we are championing the culture of heaven. Isaiah goes on to say in another passage that we're very familiar with, and particularly in about a few months' time, a verse in a scripture that we sing and we quote and we preach about, where it says this in Isaiah 6:9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us the Son is given." I want you to notice the next line. It says, "And the government," everyone say government, "the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government will be upon his shoulder. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he came with government. He came with governance upon him. He came with authority on him. He came with leadership on his life. He didn't only come to die on a cross. He did come to die on a cross, but he didn't come to stay on a cross. The cross was a doorway. The cross was part of the path. It was part of the journey. It was an agonizing moment. But there are many more moments after the cross, moments of resurrection, moments of new life, moments of Jesus being glorified, moments of Jesus being crowned. Because although he came as the lamb, he was always destined to be the lion. And there's a big difference between a lamb and a lion. I'm happy to cuddle a lamb, but don't bring a lion to me. Lions are ferocious. Lions represent authority in the jungle. I mean, what's that movie? That child's movie? The Lion King. Yeah, it's not the Lamb King. It's the Lion King. The Lion King. Lions might look cute when they're cubs, but when they grow up, they're ferocious. They represent the leader of the jungle, the leader of the pack. And Jesus came, yes, as the lamb to be slaughtered on the cross, but he was to rise again to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. He came to rule. He came to reign. He came with government upon his shoulder. I want you to notice a few verses in the Bible as they speak about what Jesus came to do and say and teach us. It says in Mark 1:14, it says, "Now after that, John the Baptist was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee," and it says he was preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Wherever Jesus went, wherever Jesus traveled, he traveled and he went there to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, you know, a lot of people in church today, they've never really gotten past the fact that Jesus died on a cross. And they've still got him on a cross. And they keep him on a cross. And they're stuck at a cross. And they don't move past the cross. Look, the cross is a necessary part of our world and our moment and our believing and our faith. It's a centerpiece of it. It's the centerpiece of it. But we don't stop there. We don't stay there. We don't park there. We don't get stuck there. We need to move past the cross and get to a throne. Past the cross and get to a throne. So we celebrate the cross. We sing about the cross. We're thankful for the cross. We're saved through what Jesus did at the cross. But the cross was not his destination. Jesus rose to be our King. His majesty is what Jesus is. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. This is testing how long you've been in church. Majesty, kingdom authority. Flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty. Worship his majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. That was church 1980. How many remember singing that song? Come on. They were the good old days. They were good old days. Some of you, the moment I started singing that, were terrified. Others were like, now we're worshipping. Now we're worshipping. You went straight back to 1980 and your safari suit. And how many of you know what a safari suit is? Sometimes I say things in the stage and I think, people don't even know what I'm talking about today. A safari suit. Scary thing was, I owned one. Matthew 9:35, next verse. Look good in it too. Verse 35 says, Jesus went about all the cities. Say all the cities. In other words, everywhere he went, every city, every village, teaching in their churches, their synagogues, their buildings, wherever people gathered, he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There's only one gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What was Jesus preaching and teaching? The gospel of the kingdom. Luke 4:43, in case you're not convinced yet. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God. What did Jesus come to preach? The kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am also sent. Jesus said very clearly over and over and over again in every message, every sermon, every little devotional that he did with people, every conversation, every act and every behavior was about the kingdom of God, that he had come as the leader of the kingdom of light to destroy the works of darkness. That's why he came, to let the light of the kingdom of God shine on this earth. And so his goal was to preach the kingdom. That was his sermon title for every series he did, the kingdom of God. Every time you came to church with Jesus, no matter what the mountain was, it was part 303 of the kingdom of God. You think my series are long? Jesus only had one series, went for 3 years, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Can you preach something else? No. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of everything he said and did was about the kingdom of God. Do you know heaven's vision is for God to be honored on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus preached the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That God would be honored on earth as he was in heaven, where people on earth would be praising and worshiping God like we are this morning, because that's what people in heaven are doing. Where people from different backgrounds and different races and different nations and different languages could come together in their diversity and be one. Come together in their differentness and be one people, united as citizens of God in the kingdom of heaven, where people would live under God on the earth, governed by God on earth, that God's thoughts, his ways, and his government would be written on our hearts and on our minds. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to preach. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to extend and expand. And that's the kingdom that God has us as a part of, being a part of his church today. You know, when it comes to culture, it's a king that determines it. The king determines the culture of his kingdom. It's not a democratic thing. He decides what culture he will bring, because that culture is him. That culture flows out of him. Like the Bible says, God is love. It doesn't say he loves. It says he is love. It's one thing to be it. It's another thing to do it. And you can do it if you be it. If you try and do it without being it, you're not really being and doing. God loves because God is love. God is love. It's part of his culture. And so heaven's culture, it's a way for us to believe. It's a pattern for us. It's a lifestyle. It's a behaving that we embrace. I want to remind you today, if you're born into the kingdom of God by the King, if you're a child of God, if you've believed in Jesus Christ and allowed him to become the Savior and the Lord of your life today, I want to remind you today, you don't fit in this world. You're in this world. You're of this world. You're not here to be a troublemaker in a negative sense. You're here to be a troublemaker in a positive sense. You're here to build the culture of heaven and be light like Jesus and shine in this world. You're here to be a great citizen. You're here to be community-minded. You're here to love people. We're not here to judge people. Not my job. Say, not my job. Not my job. No judgment. It's a no judgment zone. Not my job to judge. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. He didn't come to judge and condemn it. He came to save it and set it free. That's our job. Our job is to help set it free too. Our job is to bring that culture of heaven to earth. And so there are some things I want to say today to us about kingdom and about kingdomology, about understanding that kingdomology is, it's taking on God's thoughts, it's taking on God's ways, it's taking on God's behavior and God's words. The first thing I want to say today, I'm only going to say two things. First thing I want to say today is this, is kingdomology is unity in diversity. It's unity in diversity. Part of the beauty of the church is its diversity. I love the fact that we're not all the same. I love the fact that we come from different places. We have different experiences. We bring different cultures and styles and thought into our oneness. But in all of that diversity and all of our differentness, we have a sense of oneness. And it's a beautiful thing when people can merge like that and people can become one. You know the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17 in what's called the high priestly prayer was this, is not that they would be taken out of the world, but they would be one while in the world. Do you know what God wants to do in us above everything else is make us one, is help us fit not with the world, but with each other. Help us fit in the kingdom. Find your place in the church. Find your place in the kingdom of God. So kingdomology is unity in diversity. Unity is not uniformity. Uniformity is when everyone has to be exactly the same. Exactly the same. In other words, if you're not like me, you can't belong. How many of you are thankful that you're not like me? You should not be laughing that hysterically, Pauline. You should be so lucky. It's a good thing to be different. It's a good thing to be different. I love the beauty of our diversity and differentness that we have as a group of people, whereas uniformity demands you be like me or you can't stay. You can't belong. You can be you. Permission to be you. Permission to be you. But in being you, make sure you're one with others. Don't allow your diversity to differentiate or to dissect or delete. Wow. Everyone say delete. Your gathering with other believers. Good. If that happens, your difference needs to be dealt with by the culture of heaven. Right. And your difference needs to be challenged. Yes. I want to call some things out today. Yes. You know, sometimes we just need to call stuff out to highlight it to people. To highlight to people how to behave in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we are people from different nations, different cultures on earth and backgrounds that come together to be united as one body. Listen to what Paul says, the apostle, in Galatians 3:28. He says, we no longer see each other in our former state. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop it. Can you stop looking at me that way? You know, sometimes when people look at you and they give you a look and you don't like the look, call them out on it. So you stop that, please. Stop looking at me like that. In what way? My former state. Yeah. Paul says we don't regard each other in our former state. He says in another book that we used to think of Christ Jesus that way. We thought of him in the flesh, and that's why we got our thinking all mixed up, because not only was he flesh, he was also God. Yeah. So not only are we not to look at Jesus like that, we're not to look at our other people in our world like that. For the others that are in our world, we need to stop looking at them in their former state and stop allowing them to look at us in our former state, because you have a new state. Paul says, whether you're Jew or non-Jew, or Jew or Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, don't look at me whether I'm rich or poor. Don't look at me whether I'm male or female. Because we're all one through our union with Christ Jesus, and there's no distinction between us. Now, you might be rich and I might be poor. Or you might be male. No, that's not right. You might be female and I might be male. Just want to clarify that. No gender confusion going on here. You might be female and I am male. I am male. All the men say, I am male. I am male. Hope you got that worked out. All the girls, you are female. Yes, you are. I am woman. Hear me roar. You are. You are girl. We are boy. But don't let that difference cause a breach between rich and poor, male and female, slave nor free. In the kingdom of God and in the church of Jesus Christ, there's a oneness. There's no distinction between us. There's no hierarchy. There's an equality among us that you don't often find in other places. The Bible says we're of one mind, one heart, one spirit. We're one body unto the Lord. You know, God's kingdom has this beautiful ability to bring diversity together and for diversity not to become an issue or be an issue. It doesn't happen in any other arena. It doesn't happen in any other political arena. It doesn't happen in any other group or organization or ism or ology. It only happens in the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ, where diversity is our strength, when diversity is united. So here's what I want to call out today. Never allow yourself to be separated from God's people because of an opinion that you have a difference on. Call it out. Sometimes we need to call our friends out on that. It's okay to think differently as long as you think biblically. Okay to think differently as long as you think biblically. If your difference is not biblical, guess what? God's culture will challenge that. It's okay to think differently, just make sure you think biblically. So don't separate yourself from God's people because of opinions. Never separate yourself because of politics. Never separate yourself because of politics. We have all differing kinds of political perspectives and views and persuasions in this room. We'll have different sorts of votes that will take place in a few weeks' time as we vote for our state government here in Queensland. Your vote is your vote. My vote is my vote. Just vote biblically. Vote biblically. In other words, vote for biblical value is the culture of the kingdom of God. Never separate yourself because of race. Because we're united as a race. Together, called a holy people, is what we are united as in the kingdom of God. That kind of separation is not kingdom behavior. In actual fact, this is what I want to call it out as. It's immature, it's childish, it's selfish, and it's carnal. It's immature. Thank you for your overwhelming affirmation there. It's immature, it's childish, and it's selfish, and it's carnal. And I think the king needs to call that out. The king needs to call it. We need to call it out on our friends and family sometimes and call it out for what it is, because it hinders the strength of the church. Our unity is not based on uniformity. We don't all have to think the same on absolutely everything, but we all have to surrender to the culture of the king. We all have to surrender to the culture of the king. We're all subject to the king's ways and the king's thoughts. And so in the kingdom, and in the church, we see God's family as our family. That's how Jesus saw it. Our family is also church family. I have a natural family, which I love and adore, but I also have a spiritual family that I love and adore. And I look at them both as family. We care for the family. We contribute to the family. We're committed to the family. We engage with the family and we gather with the family. And here's a biggie. We all need to write this in our Bible because it should be in the Bible. We fight for the family, not with the family. We fight for the family, not with the family. Our fight's not with the family. Our fight is for the family. Jesus said that our fight, was it Jesus or Paul? Said that our fight isn't Paul. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against darkness in high places and wickedness. Our fight is in a realm that we don't see with our natural eye. And so our fight is not with the family, our fight is for the family. You know, there's always a fight with the family that the devil's trying to develop, that he's trying to get people to engage in. That's a carnal, selfish, immature, childish fight to get involved in. We're here to fight for the family. That's a fight of faith. That's the mature fight. That's the real fight. That's a spiritual fight. That's a supernatural fight. That's a kingdom culture fight. That's the fight that Jesus came to earth. I want to close with this thought, that God's kingdom is a treasure and it's the greatest privilege that we have here on earth. God's kingdom is the treasure, it's a treasure, and it's the greatest privilege that we have here on earth. In one of the parables of the kingdom, and all of the parables that Jesus told were about the kingdom, in Matthew 13 it says this, where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid the treasure again and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. In other words, he's out in the paddock and he finds this amazing lump of gold and he's so excited about this find. He hid it again before anyone else could find it, so they wouldn't find it, so he could go away and get enough treasure to buy the land so that he could own the treasure. I love the fact that Jesus said the man was excited when he found the treasure. Filled with excitement. In his excitement, he went to buy. One version says, in his joy, he left to gather the money to buy the field that had this hidden treasure. In other words, the man was fully invested in the treasure of the kingdom. The man was fully invested in the treasure of the kingdom. Can I ask you a penetrating question today? This is a penetrating question. Are you still filled with the joy? Are you still filled with the excitement of the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? Are you still filled with the joy? Are you still filled with a perspective of the treasure of the king? Do you still consider it a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, a part of the church of Jesus? Do you still consider it a privilege? Do you get out of bed on Sunday morning and wake up like King David did and you say to yourself, I'm glad it's Sunday. I was glad, very glad when they said unto me, come on, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you still filled with that joy and that excitement and that enthusiasm? Do you still have that sense of buy-in and being fully invested in the kingdom of heaven? Do you remember when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ? Do you remember when you first put your hand up in a service like this one and you said yes to Jesus and you prayed for him to become your Savior? Do you remember the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm? Do you remember coming to church thinking, I wish they'd sing that song again? I love that song. I love that song, Majesty. I loved it when Pastor Tony sang it in his sermon. I loved it, Majesty. Worship is majesty. And the excitement and the joy. Do you remember leaving church and thinking, I can't wait to come back again? I can't wait for next Sunday. I can't wait for Connect Group. I can't wait for the prayer meeting. I can't wait to wait. I can't wait to fast and pray. I can't wait to go without food. I'm happy to go without food and pray. Why? Because I'm excited and there's joy for the treasure of the kingdom. Or do you wake up on Sunday morning and think, what the heck? Where did the week go? Sunday already, the pastor's going to be expecting me to be there. They sent out a message on Facebook last night saying, don't forget to book your seat. What? Book a seat? I've got to book a seat to come to church? I'm not coming if I've got to book a seat. Connect Group? Really? Don't they know I work till 6 o'clock? Working 9 to 5? Just to make a living? Pray? Pray? No, doing Dolly Parton. Behave. Pray? Fast? Go without food? Don't you know what I do for a job? I need my strength. I'm going to work in an office. I do the filing, you know. Got to put stuff away. I need my strength for that. It's meat. Dog's got to eat. It's a privilege. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a privilege. What a privilege the kingdom is. What a privilege. Never lose your joy. Never lose your joy. Never lose your excitement. Never lose your enthusiasm. Legacy offering, give what? Give what? Beyond my tithe? Do you know Bible commentators say in regards to this offering we're going to present next week that a first fruits offering, right, was equivalent or would be equivalent today to like a week's salary. So we've kind of worked on that suggestion for people to really give a sacrificial offering. I remember the first time that I did that many, many years ago. Wow, probably how many years ago? How old am I? I'm 58. Probably the first time I would have been about 34, 35 years ago. 34, 35 years ago was the first time I put $1,000 in an offering. 35 years ago. What would $1,000 be worth 35 years ago? It'd be worth a lot of money, Murph, today. God started me on a pathway of generosity beyond the tithe. I've done it ever since. Practiced that yearly. To give to the Lord. Why? Because I love his house. I love the place where his glory dwells. You know, the thing about that is, when you love God's house, he loves your house. And God has loved on my house and blessed me as a result of that. And I thank God for that. I want to be fully invested in the kingdom of God. I don't ever want to lose my joy or the value of the treasure. I want to live like this man in this story, in this parable. I want to go out with excitement and enthusiasm. I want to come in with excitement and enthusiasm. I want to never forget the value that the treasure of the kingdom of God is for me. So my question is it still a joy for you? Is it still a joy for you? Is it still a privilege for you? Is serving still a joy? You know, the truth is, the longer that you go in your faith journey, the easier it is to neglect and forget what a great privilege it really is, just simply because you're around it all the time. When you're around something all the time, it's easy to forget the treasure. And certainly that's the case when it comes to the kingdom of God and church. It's easy just to get distracted by stuff, occupied by things, to forget that you found the greatest treasure that there is in this earth. And it's easy to forget that it means more than anything else to your world and to your life and to your future. So church, I want to call us back to treasuring the treasure. Treasuring the treasure. The little things of the kingdom of God. Many of you know, most of you know, all of you know, my dad passed away this year during COVID. Buried him this year. It was a difficult moment. And there are some little things that my dad had that were like little treasures, and they were passed on to us kids. Just little things. Not his money. His money's gone to Mum, where it belongs, for her security. But some little things that Dad gave to us and us to have. My dad was a guard on Queensland Railways for years and years. Now, before Bible college, to become a minister in the railway. And I was a fireman for years in the railway. So trains. Dad's got a little. Thank you, Carl. Dad's got a little tie pin that's a diesel engine. I've always loved it, and it was given to me. So it now sits in my office in a little box that was handmade by Gary Rutherford in our church. If you're online today, Gary, you should be. Thank you. Thank you. He made his beautiful box. It's a treasure box. Some of my little treasures are in there. So that tie pin's in there. I've got this little cross tie pin on today on my jacket. That's from my dad. It's a treasure to me. I've got a watch of his. It sits in my treasure box. But I've got this other treasure, which is an old guard's hat. I should bring it in to show you one day. It belonged to my mum's dad, who was also a railway guard. And it was given when he died to my dad. And it's like a French Legionnaire's hat with guard written on it. It's a beautiful piece of railway memorabilia. I've always loved it. I never knew my granddad. He died at the age of, I think, 48 or 52. And I've always treasured seeing that in Mum's cabinet. And Mum gave it to me when my dad passed away. And now it sits on our shelf, pride of place, as treasure, just next to my dad's photo. Every time I walk past it, I think, I treasure that thing. And I'll pass that on. I'll pass that on. And it will remain a treasure in the family. Is it still a treasure for you? Is it still a treasure for you? Does it still hold pride of place for you? Does it still hold something special for you in how you live, how you behave, how you believe in life? It's a treasure that God wants us to hold on to. So I'm calling us back to treasuring the treasure. Would you please stand with me? Brad shared this verse when he was emceeing
this morning, I want to share it in another version, the Passion Translation. It says, so above all, constantly chase the realm of God's kingdom. Constantly chase the realm of God's kingdom, and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. You know, being part of the kingdom of God, a part of God's church, a part of this beautiful body that has such diversity and difference and different people from different walks and experiences and backgrounds of life coming together as one is such a beautiful thing. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever neglect that. Don't ever delete that in your thinking. God's kingdom. It's all Jesus spoke about. It's all He preached. And He said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you bow your heads? Father, we pray today. We pray for kingdom to come today. For people that are online today, I'm praying kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For everybody here in the room today, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, help us today as we embrace kingdomology, as we rediscover the excitement and the joy of the kingdom of God, that every day we have a faithful God that just keeps coming, 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 coming and helping us, coming and moving life forward, coming and doing great things, coming and bringing breakthrough and miracles, answers to prayer today in Jesus' name. I pray, be the deliverer. Be the deliverer for people today. Be who you've always been, because that's who you are. That's who you are, God. Turn things around today in people's hearts and lives, homes and circumstances is my prayer today. Wherever people today are opening their hearts and leaning into you and saying, I need you, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and do only what you do today. Come and forgive people today. Come and forgive people of their sins. Your word says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we'll be made right with God. We will be saved. I pray today as people are saying that, that you'd come and make a way in their heart to make them right with God today. Wherever they've been, whatever they've done, whatever their story, whatever their failure, whatever their hurt, whatever their pain, bring life today. Bring life today, because you are a faithful, faithful, faithful God, and we celebrate you today and heaven's culture in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Church.